Is God raising up a remnant to reverse the moral decline that we've allowed to destroy our nation? This is Dennis Peterson, and thanks for joining me today on Reclaiming Your Legacy. When surrounded by a prevalent spirit of fear and completely insane behaviors, can there be any doubt that now is the time for humble hearts to rise in their Lord's strength, put on the whole armor of God, and take the courage of Joshua to face the enemies of God's kingdom without hesitation? Joshua begins in the first chapter, verse 9, with the command to be strong and courageous, to not fear, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It ends in chapter 24, verse 15, with the command to fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, choosing this day whom you will serve, either the Lord God or the idols of the pagans, which God is determined to destroy. It's your choice. Today is a historic day. God will use those whom he chooses, our voting citizenry, to determine whether or not our generation will be led by leaders who honor ethical biblical values or tyrannical collectivist values. It's Election Day 2020. Never before in our lifetime has a nationwide election spotlighted with laser beam focus the moral and spiritual issues made plain in the Bible. And never before have two diametrically opposing candidates championed such clear distinctions between the forces of good and God and the forces of evil and the devil. This is not an opinion. It's obvious for all to see. Just look at their platforms. Listen to their words and see their actions. One stands unwaveringly for the sanctity of life. The other promotes outright murder of babies. One confidently declares allegiance to God, even frequently showing honor for Jesus Christ by name. The other fully embraces a party platform that removed one nation under God from their pledge of allegiance and surrounds himself with avowed Marxists openly committed to atheism. One vigorously defends the constitutional principle that our rights come from God as humans. The other supports the position that the government gives us those rights. One receives wide support from law enforcement groups because of his clear support of the biblical concept of personal property. The other will not make a clear stand for protection of law-abiding citizens, but rather makes ridiculous excuses for anarchists to exercise their destructive behavior. One has persisted in his success to strengthen our nation's borders and maintain lawful control over immigration to keep our nation sovereign. The other, with his running mate and his entire party's constituency, is determined to let our borders be overrun by masses of illegals, providing cover for human traffickers and drug cartels. One is determined to restore the honor of our nation's pride in our history and school choice. The other has relentlessly supported the teaching of revisionist history and the secular monopoly on education. One has already demonstrated his support for less government, lower taxation, and greater accommodation to free enterprise and American jobs. The other actually promotes and promises to raise your taxes and policies to take more job opportunities away to foreign nations. One has already accomplished remarkable progress in rehabilitating American military strength and vows to continue supporting peace through strength without entanglements in unnecessary foreign wars. The other is committed to the failed policies of prior administrations involved in endless foreign conflicts at the needless expense of thousands of brave American soldiers. This list could go on for many pages, and everyone with a basic understanding of biblical concepts of ethics, morality, and honorable patriotism can see the sharp polarization between the choices that Americans have to make. But just looking at some of the incidental details of the presidency of the man that God providentially raised up for such a time as this, we can see clearly the uniqueness of our president, President Trump. Never before has God put a billionaire with no political career into the office of leading the most powerful nation the world has ever known. Mr. Trump has demonstrated clearly that he has no need or interest in enriching himself from this position. He even gives his entire salary to humanitarian and publicly acceptable charitable causes with no political agenda. His only personal reason for pursuing the presidency was, and is, to save the nation from its treacherous path to complete corruption and destruction. And he agreed to do it only after his entire family supported his choice at great personal sacrifice that was otherwise completely unnecessary. Only the nation's founders matched such heroic effort of complete devotion to this country. Never before has any candidate for public office worked so tirelessly with such energy and endearing confidence to simply show his openly public support for we the people whom he represents. A totally trained athlete would be challenged to keep up with the rigorous schedule and brilliant communication ability seen daily by the citizens who witness President Trump openly in his public rallies. The tens of thousands in attendance at those events is unprecedented in our nation's history. Never before have the entrenched cultural influencers of our time collaborated so overwhelmingly at such great expense to defeat what can simply be recognized as good and honorable. President Trump confidently conveys a message of hope and great expectations for the American people. He does it no matter how viciously he is maligned, whether his enemies are the media, academia, the entrenched political machines, or even some of the deceived elite Christian leaders. They've all bowed to financial interests that support their distorted leftist causes like globalism, environmentalism, and socialism. A remarkable example of one of the achievements of President Trump is revealing. It illustrates why some Christians here, and even in the nation-state of Israel, have credited him for being a modern-day version of the biblical King Cyrus of Daniel's day. Remember, he is the one who, at the expense of his ancient Babylonian kingdom, gave the captive children of Israel permission to return to their land and rebuild their homeland over 500 years before Christ was born. The headline says, Trump signed pro-life Geneva Declaration. The Trump administration participated in signing the Geneva Consensus Declaration last week, promoting women's health and strengthening the family. Brazil, Egypt, Hungary, Indonesia, and Uganda also signed the document. The declaration states there is no international right to abortion, and in no case should abortion be promoted as a method of family planning. The signers called for the United Nations to embrace these values and presented the document at the 2020 World Health Assembly, the decision-making body of the World Health Organization. Who signed this agreement for the United States? President Trump. It's time to cast down imaginations and every high thing raised against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought in obedience to Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. With the modern secularization of our nation's youth by Christian parents who have virtually abdicated their responsibility to educate their children with Christian values, followed by the radicalization of those young people, by the leftist indoctrinators committed to Marxist ideologies, it should be no surprise that we are seeing people fear a very ominous future for our world and our nation. In the challenge God delegated to me a decade ago to use this radio platform to equip listeners with tools to help them reclaim their God-given legacy, I've typically prepared messages that were relatively timeless, or what they call evergreen. In these last couple of months, I've been compelled by God's Spirit to deliver an urgent plea to use your voice and your vote to keep America as a land that God can bless again, a land of the free. Even if the mountains of influence in our culture have largely left our biblical foundations, we're beginning to see many gatherings of believers who are prayerfully redirecting the careless infidelity of some of the high majority of our supposedly Christian families and their cowardly leaders. May God help us as a nation to reclaim the legacy of salt and light influence known by earlier generations, when the pulpits of America expounded constantly the idea that Christian principles and godliness must fill our positions of leadership in the political realm. Never forget that our war is not with people, but with powerful spiritual enemies in the unseen realm that are stirring up the idolatrous fallen nature of humans in rebellion to God. No one but God could have anticipated the global negative impact of the world's governmental leaders' tyrannical reaction to what began to look like a mysterious epidemic. It's unprecedented and historic. But imagine if our nation had been under the leadership of the progressive leftist, who was narrowly defeated by Mr. Trump. Thank God for divine intervention that literally trumped all the polls and the anti-American pundits. No one has any idea what challenges our nation and the world will face in the coming 4 years. The uncertainty of that future in a world with so much dysfunction is daunting enough. It's why we desperately need an unusually prepared and qualified leader at the helm. Thankfully, God has begun to turn the hearts of His people and our society to call out on Him for the sustaining and delivering grace that only He can provide. God has always chosen flawed human channels of His mercy to providentially lead His people through difficult times. We can be confident we're standing on the threshold of a door of opportunity that He is opening to be a conduit for His salvation and transformation in our generation. God's people are daily given choices to do their part to be builders of the walls of protection around their society, or to stand by and let their parts of the wall crumble. Both will receive their just recompense from the Master Builder. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." That's a sobering passage of Scripture. When you reject something that is given to you by God, what does His word clearly say He will do? Another example is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 to 12 says, "Because they refused to love the truth and so be saved, therefore God sends them a strong delusion, so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Isn't it clear that no one who honestly seeks to be true to God's calling would ever want to refuse the love of the truth? Refuse the temptation to favor and give your vote to anyone who is an accomplice to murder, to lawlessness, to legalize theft, and to the undermining of our nation's founding principles as clearly defined in our nation's birth certificate and constitution. When you do that, your action makes you an accomplice to those crimes. And not only have you rejected clear knowledge, you have refused the gift of the love of the truth. God is committed to the promises of His word to send you a strong delusion, to believe falsehoods, and be condemned because of your vote for the unrighteous pleasure of your unbiblical opinions. In the light of the extraordinary campaigns against Christianity on university campuses, many are asking if we're merely dealing with isolated incidences of anti-Christian bias and prejudice, or whether there is actually an agenda to hijack universities, to infiltrate the news media and break down Christian standards of morality, discredit the family as an institution, and undermine Christianity worldwide. Have you ever heard of the published agenda of communism? Cleon Skousen published the book The Naked Communist in 1952. In 1963, the official communist goals, as published and exposed by this book, were read to the Congressional Record. These are a few selected items from the published communist agenda. To gain control of the schools, use them as transmission belts for socialism, get control of teachers' associations, put the party line in textbooks, gain control of all student newspapers, infiltrate the press, get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, policy-making positions, gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. continue discrediting culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression, eliminate all good sculpture from park and buildings, substitute shapelessness, awkwardness, and meaningless forms, control art critics and directors of art museums. Our plan is to promote ugliness, repulsiveness, and meaningless art. Does that sound familiar? It goes on and says, to eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. To break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and even healthy. Infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible. Transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies. Treat all behavioral problems as psychiatric disorders, which no one but psychiatrists can understand or treat. Dominate the psychiatric profession and use mental health laws as a means of gaining coercive control over those who oppose communist goals. Discredit the family as an institution. Encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. Emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. Attribute prejudices, mental blocks, and retarding of children to the suppressive influence of parents. Now, these are just a selection from the communist agenda as published in The Naked Communist over 58 years ago. Over 25 years ago, the humanist agenda was widely published. Man is a product of evolutionary chance, and this theory must be taught as a fact of science in schools and in the media. The humanist agenda also went on and said education should be controlled by the state. Education should be secular, should be free of moral absolutes and non-Christian. Sex education in school should be compulsory. Pornography should be allowed as free speech. Abortion is a woman's right. Homosexuality is an acceptable alternative lifestyle. Criminals are victims of society, requiring treatment and rehabilitation. The rights of citizens to obtain, own, and use firearms for self-defense must be limited and eventually eliminated. All power and authority must gradually and progressively be centralized in big government. Again, that's the humanist agenda, which is ardently taught in virtually all public schools in America today. If you've not had the opportunity to see The Agenda, Grinding America Down, and Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit, you need to. Dr. Ted Baer of Movie Guide reviews the documentary film in these words. Agenda is the most powerful expose of the communist, socialist, progressive attempt to take over America produced so far. The documentary presents the connections between the different communist, socialist, progressive organizations with great clarity and shows how they have implemented their agenda to dismantle American patriotism, morality, and spirituality. Pastor David Lane, founder of the American Renewal Project, wrote in a recent blog online about Soviet Christian disciple Joseph Bodarenko. He endured nearly a decade in Soviet prison camps for his faith in Jesus Christ. After his survival in godless gulag conditions, he eventually became an author, a theologian, public speaker, and became known as the Billy Graham of Russia. Pastor Bodarenko is now 83 years old, and he spoke at a church in California recently. And he mentioned that it was like deja vu to him. Everything that's happening, he said, today in America is almost like a movie I've already watched. I see a lot of parallels between the Soviet regime and things happening now because there was a time in history where the communists closed churches completely, and then they would reopen a little bit, and if the church was open, there were certain guidelines given to pastors. Don't they realize what's happening now in America is exactly what happened to us in communist Russia? It started with don't gather, don't sing, spread apart, listen to the government. Then it quickly turned into full-on persecution, and the church did not wake up in time. I'm here to beg you to call the church to wake up, stand firm, conquer. The system was more merciful towards murderers, pedophiles, and criminals than to Christians. First, they took away freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of the press, and imposed a very strict censorship and control of all media. America is beginning to resemble the Soviet Union with its prejudiced news media mirroring the USSR's news organs, Pravda and Izvestia. Worse yet, with big tech censorship of free speech in government, intrusion into religious liberty, we see suppression of religious freedom and assembly being accepted as a new normal. Pastor Bondarenko continued, "Private schools and homeschooling were completely forbidden because the government was overseeing education of all people in all ages. With that in mind, evangelical and pro-life Catholic Christians will understand that if they do not regain control of the wellsprings of liberty that are propelling the culture, sustainable freedom and liberty for our children and grandchildren is far from certain. American Christianity has fallen to a terrible state over the last 100 years. Its anemic presence in the marketplace shows in its lack of power, vigor, and vitality. By abandoning the public square, America's Christian community has failed to realize that everyone will suffer from the vicious secular disorder against God's set boundaries of righteousness. Look at where the secular government has abused its charge to protect a free society. Back in 1962, the removal of prayer. In 63, the removal of the Bible from schools. In 73, the legalization of the murder of unborn children. In 1980, the removal of the Ten Commandments from public school walls. In 2015, the legalization of the sin of homosexuality and homosexual marriage. And in 2020, the expansion of homosexual and transgender rights. Attorney General William Barr recently said of secularism, "This is not decay, this is organized destruction. Secular forces and their allies have marshaled all the forces of mass communication, popular culture, the entertainment industry, and academia in an unremitting assault on religion and traditional values." Thank God for Attorney General Barr and for his moral stance. He clarifies the battle between two opposing domains, Christianity versus secularism. They compete for ideological supremacy and control of resources in the public square, but most Christians act as if they are mere spectators in the game. While contemporary America has drifted far from its founders' mission statements, the present days of adversity are reshaping a people called by Christ's name. If by God's grace we see any reprieve through this election, let us not make the mistake of going right back to normal when the hard times seem to retreat temporarily. We must keep building on Jesus' kingdom ecclesia assignment put forth in Matthew 16:18. God declares nowhere that he will preserve carelessness and presumption. The modern church model of fancy buildings, big budgets, crowds of pop culture entertainment seekers cannot survive the abandonment of the public square. God's people cannot be derelict in their call to be light exposing domains of darkness and salt to preserve a rotting society. Christian author A.W. Pink gave some spiritual insight to reestablish the Bible-based culture given to us by America's founders. Quote, "It would indeed be strange if we apprehended how that on the one hand Canaan was a free gift unto Israel, which they entered by grace alone, and on the other hand, they had to fight for every inch of it. Nowhere in the epistles is there a single exhortation for the saints as such to engage in public evangelism, not even to do personal work and seek to be soul winners. Rather, they're required to witness for Christ by their daily conduct in business and in home. They are to show forth God's praises rather than tell them forth. They are to let their light shine. The testimony of the life is far more effectual than glib utterances of the lips. Actions speak louder than words." This is Dennis Peterson, and thanks for joining me today on Reclaiming Your Legacy.